I just like kicking them.
I like...
What do you think the deal is with the guys in the black suits? What do you...
Gee, lad, I don't know.
They look like a...
What's the problem with these guys with the mics? They all look like weebs. Just...
I don't know.
Look at that one over there. That one's a little tan. I don't think I like that.
He's real...
He's also really short. I feel like I could just put my elbow on top of his one.
I could just, like, step on him and prance on his corpse.
And look at these two pine cone trees over there, taller than the ceiling. Why don't they just have a seat?
One of them kind of looks like a bush, like, not too tall, but it's, like, pretty. It's like a hedge.
And the other one, oh, don't get me started with the other one.
Don't get me started. You're gonna get me started, aren't you?
Oh, no.
Don't even get me started.
His head looks like a goddamn Ellis Island statue.
God, who the fuck did that?
It's like an Alolan Egoraptor or whatever we called it.
I think we said Alolan Egoraptor.
Good.
I definitely screamed that at the top of my lungs.
Please don't tell me they're coming in the same train as us.
Oh no, look at them. They got tickets and everything. Oh my god.
Oh no, my god.
Oh, I just saw them walk on. Oh,
God save our goddamn soul.
At least it's not like we're gonna be killed on this train. All right, let's go, boys.
Okay, let's go.
Let me tell you the horrible story of the Funky Anime Podcast.
Okay, Dad.
Now, legend says that the Funky Anime Podcast was made up of three different weebs.
Oh, wow.
A whole three?
Yeah.
That's so many.
They said they reached about episode 20 when they finally cracked under the pressure.
That was JoJo, wasn't it?
Don't ask me these questions. I didn't watch it. But anyways, as I was saying...
It was shitty. I didn't listen.
Where was...
Are you okay, Dad?
Sorry, I had some gas. Your mother made cannolis this morning.
Man.
Anyways, as I was saying...
Yeah. Keep going, Dad. Don't worry. My brother's just stupid. Keep going.
All right. If you interrupt me one more time, it's sleeping with the fishes, all right? All right.
I love fish.
I do too, anyways. One of these episodes, they decided to review one about the mafia.
Oh, wow. I hate those guys.
You do know you're the son of a mafioso, right?
Oh, I love those guys.
And they recorded it on this... The day of my daughter's wedding.
They say that if you actually go into the bathroom and you spell out Funky Anime Podcast on the mirror, they'll show up.
Why?
Don't it?
That doesn't seem.
Don't question
smart.
It, son. Don't question it. Let's go try it out right now.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. That's us walking.
Okay.
We wrote it on the window.
Okay, so how do you spell it? You said mirror, first off.
No, I said Miria.
Okay. I guess.
There's no Miria here.
So where do we write it?
Well,
then?
The mirror will be the next best thing.
Okay, so let's do the mirror. Funky anime. Does it have to be in cursive or can it just be normal?
It can be normal.
Add a tilde for no reason.
Okay, I got you.
But add it over the P, though.
Anime. Oh, of course. Come on, who do you think I am?
You. Yeah.
Okay, Dad. Podcast. Okay, I did it.
All right. Now the magic words are...
Yeah? What's the magic words?
Hi guys, welcome to the I don't think that was good at all.
Did you not hear me fucking laugh at my ass off the whole time?
That was the best thing we've ever done on this podcast.
No, of course not. Is that the
guys,
opening?
It's only up from here.
Guys, it's feeling really up dog right now.
What's that?
I got him.
Ligma up dog?
You know, what's the thing you just said?
What?
You know, the thing you said.
Yeah?
The thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up dog?
Yeah.
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 Can someone tell me
we
what
can't
that
be
is?
Laughing at this fucking dead meme, dude.
It was never dead to begin with. It's always living in our hearts and in our souls.
I see.
No.
Just like our eternal lives.
I got a question. We haven't started, right?
Because we drink. No, yes. We've started.
Oh, no, we have.
Oh, no.
We've, let me try we've definitely started.
Dude, this is a train wreck. The flying pussyfooter is going down.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Funky Anime Podcast.
See, I brought it
welcome.
Back.
Welcome.
The You're one welcome. Sitting in first class. Well, that's Garb.
Yeah, I'm fucking living the high life. Fuck y'all.
The one in the cargo hold for some reason, checking his bomb stash. Well, that's Chuck.
Holy fuck, there's so many bombs in here. Look at all these fucking bombs.
Dude, he's having a blast.
Hell, shut up. Oh, these are so cool.
And the one covered in blood who calls himself the Rail Tracer. Well, that's me. That's Pino. Hi. I'm the Rail Tracer.
Oh, no.
Oh,
but it's all right. Boy. I'm just going to ask you if you have your ticket.
Oh,
ticket, please.
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
What's hold that on. Man doing in the cargo hold, though?
What man in the cargo
pay attention.
Hold?
I'm getting my tickets. I put it in my bag. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay, first class. This expired last year.
What are you talking about? No.
It says so right here.
No.
Nah, I'm just messing with you. Have a great day.
Okay.
Now, as for you.
Yeah.
All right, where's your ticket?
Oh, wait. Let me get into the scene and not out in the cargo still.
Okay, come on.
Hey.
He's like thinking the logistics of this. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I All right. Here's this sheet of money paper that I have. Would you like it?
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to get off my train.
Not if I have Not if...
Sir, I've already detached this other part of the train. You're still on that part. Yeah, goodbye.
Okay, bye!
So, Garb, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm,
we lost Chuck
I'm
for a second.
In first class. I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
Okay, guys, I just ran back.
Wow, you run really fast.
Welcome, guys. That was two opening bits in one. I hope you enjoyed that.
Guys, you're welcome.
If you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on YouTube, you can find us on iTunes.
Yeah.
But where can they find us if they want to send us anything?
Yeah, so we're just going to start this off with plugs, I guess.
Of course. Nobody listens to the end of the episode.
You're right, though. So if you want to find us on Twitter, we are 3WeeBros, or if you look up Funky Anime Podcast, we'll probably be the first one because we're the only ones.
We're the only funky ones, of course.
Oh, got him. And then you can obviously find us on anywhere that you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, CastBox, Spotify. And if you could leave us a review on any of those sites, that would be fantastic.
Spotify
really helps getting the words out.
I've been going up there, and
yeah,
I'm very
thanks.
Happy. So
shout-outs. Thanks all one person listening to our thing several
that's
times.
That's just me putting it on autoplay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And then you can email us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that is funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com. If you write us anything, we'll read it on the podcast, maybe.
Mostly, likely.
Probably, because we don't get anything.
Yeah, except for all right, if you couldn't tell by the title or our horrible accents, this week...
What do you mean, horrible accents?
What do you mean?
Like, this is how I talk.
This is just
this
me.
Is how we talk. It's the 1930s.
I just have a cold, that's all.
I'm pretty
hey,
sure
I'm really
it was
racist.
The 30s.
Got him.
Rusty!
Yeah.
Hey, Holmes. Anyways, this week, I decided to make the guys take a little trip back in time. The year...
Don't fall over, though.
Don't fall over. The year not... And blah, blah, blah. My tongue is already twisted at the beginning of the episode.
Don't tie it, then.
All right, I'll untie it. This week...
Thank you.
This week...
This is gonna be a good episode.
This week, this week we watched Bacchanal. Now, if you don't know, Bacchanal is an anime. Oh,
wow! How about that?
Who'd have thought the anime podcast watching an anime?
I don't know.
Unheard
man.
Of.
Doesn't seem
unprecedented. Anyways, yes, this anime is called Bacchanal. Its original run was from February 10th. At least the light novel started in February 10th, 2003, and is actually an ongoing series mm-hmm. as of this moment, which is very interesting to me because I actually was not aware of that.
Did they do it like in the like present time, or like how at the end of the series they did it, like they showed a little bit where it was like 2001? Did they show like after that?
We'll talk a little more about it, but it has to do more with the specials that happened that I made you guys watch. Yeah. This week we watched about, I believe it was 12-ish?
16.
16 episodes. Yeah.
16 total episodes.
Three of which 16. Were the special episodes that I asked them to watch, because I felt like that kind of, you know, encompassed the entire thing as a whole, and it had a good ending, in my opinion. But more on Bacchanal. Bacchanal is actually Italian for ruckus, the town. So, you know, if those of you who have seen this, oh boy, this is a very, very...
Italiano.
Thank you.
This is a very, that's an I old guess, joke. Rambunctious show, I guess. As I mentioned, it started out as a light novel, and it was written by, time to butcher his name, Ryogo Narita.
Can you try it again?
Ryogo Narita.
One more time.
Ryogo Narita.
Thank you.
Okay. Feliz with Narita. Illustrations by Katsumi. With Katsumi Inami.
Guys, this is a bad anime. No, just kidding. It's a great anime.
This light novel was then adapted into a manga series, again, written by our boy Ryogo Narita. If
one
that
more
name,
time.
Ryogo Narita.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've already recognized the name of Ryogo Narita, but he is a writer who has also produced the series that we've watched earlier this season, Durarara! Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
You didn't know that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think I explained the episode of Durarara that they like pairing this and another series into what they call the Narita-verse, which is...
So these are the... Okay, I remember from that episode. Okay.
Right, yeah. So, again, it was made into a manga around 2006, I believe, around December-ish. Yeah. And it had two volumes. Then the anime series came out, directed by Takahiro Omori. Mari.
I can't speak Japanese.
Oh, no, you got me. And let me see if I'm correct, but it says that the studio was called Brains Base.
Yes, you are correct there.
Yes.
They did stuff like, well, they did Durarara, obviously, Bacchano. That's really their biggest ones that they've done. Mm-hmm. I've been scrolling through it a little
they
bit.
They have There's Spice nothing. And Wolf number 2, for those of you who likes the wolves.
A-woo.
My teen romantic comedy Snafu, which I know people have watched.
Oh, yeah.
Defrag, I think, is one of the popular one, I think. They've also done Dances
there seems
with
like
Devils.
A couple of... mech shows.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of things, but they all sort of I don't think like many people have those shows like high up on their lists, maybe.
No.
But it's shows that people may or may not have seen.
I mean, Bacchanal and Durarara are both good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both really highly rated on my anime list.
Oh,
and the funny thing is Bacchanal is actually rated higher than Durarara.
Oh,
I can see why.
I also agree with that sentiment.
However, not only did it have a first manga series, they also had a second manga series published by Square Enix, which started in 2015.
Square Enix has published a couple that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Stop yelling at me.
Square Enix is, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing a lot of good. They're doing a lot of good.
Except for Kingdom Hearts. Oh, God. Dab.
When you walk up.
No.
So, hey, guys, how about that Final Fantasy VII remake?
It's not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. No one's gonna make it. It's not gonna happen.
Anyways.
Okay, continue.
If I am correct by checking my sources, which are the ever so reliable wiki. Remember, kids, use that for your essays and you fail. Anyways, let's see. I believe that the first 13 or so episodes were actually only two of the arcs, or at least two of the... It was... hold up. Let me reread what I just read here.
This is a good part of the podcast right now.
I literally yawned.
It was, I believe, if I remember correctly, and I'm going to be wrong, but it was one of the, one of the first, I think it was the four volumes of the light novel that was made into the series. So you had the intro and everything that happened on the Flying Pussyfoot, which is the name of the train, which we'll talk about later.
Epic name.
Epic name. Great. I think it was a great name. It was appropriate. You know, see, because
it's fucking stupid.
In the 30s, we called everything things that we make fun of today. Ah. I mean, it's true. But before we get into it, let me ask my compatriots, my cohorts, you know, what were their initial thoughts when I said, hey, we're going to watch this show with one exclamation point at the end?
Yeah, I was disappointed by the lack of exclamation marks. Not gonna lie, that lowered my expectation at first, but as I watched the show, I grew to love it.
Pretty good.
Did you like my joke? Please tell me you like my joke. Okay.
Please laugh.
No.
Please clap. Laugh.
Just please eat.
Please eat.
I had never heard of it, but like during the first episode where it was like all like gray and dark, I was like, oh, it's another one of these Pino episode shows where everything's like kind of gray and it's like a little edgy.
I'm going to be edgy.
Like Durarara and what was that other one? Black Lagoon.
Oh, right.
Like, those are like Pino shows to me now. I did hand quotation marks, but obviously you cannot see that.
I saw that. I felt it.
But yeah. And then eventually I was like, this is better than those.
Well, it's better than
definitely
one
better
of them.
Than, definitely better than one of them, for sure.
Sorry, Benny boy.
Durarara just took too long for me to like get into, and this one, like, because of the just the weirdness in it, I was like,
yeah, the time.
Like, by the end of the first episode, I was like, all right, I can get into this.
Mm-hmm. What about
and
you,
then
Chuck?
I was into this.
Hmm? What about you, Chuck? What were your first thoughts?
I was like, no. So I've listened to the theme song of this for like 3-4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been on like my playlist.
That's usually how you find anime.
That's how I get my anime, just because if the opening's good, the anime should be good, maybe.
Maybe. Looking at
you. Yeah, and
for once it was right.
Okay, shut up.
Hey, you can't spoil it for the viewers.
I'm taking offense to this right now.
I mean, the opposite happens too. Panty and Stocking is a fucking terrible opening, but that's a great show.
I like the Panty and Stockings opening.
I mean, Chase is also a bad opening, but
you're right. That's,
JoJo's is still a great series.
Yeah, you're right.
Y'all just had to put Chase in there.
Yeah, no, but I like the first episode. It was a bit weird because, like, you know, it's a time thing, and they're throwing all these characters at you at one point, and you're like, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
But yeah, it's just, there's just a whole bunch, and you're just like, dang.
Am I going to remember everything?
They give you like time to digest it later. Like, then they introduce them a little bit. They like throw it all at you, and then they're like, okay, let's ease into it now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
Because whenever they take too long at first, like, I need a good first scene, you know? Mm-hmm.
Guys, sometimes what's the first scene of Kill la Kill? I don't remember.
Where they're in the school, Mako's asleep, and then Gamagori fucking bursts through the door.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a good one. Yes, that's a bad anime.
As from my experience, it was actually during the week that we were watching Durarara that I was like, you know what? I'm going to go give Bakugo a try. Because like, I was on an anime kind of binge there. So
you hadn't seen it?
I had not seen it at that time, which was pretty recently. I think it's only been a couple months.
This is new to you, too. Okay.
This was new to me, yeah. And so I watched it. I binged it within 2 days. And I was like,
wow. Understandable.
Wow, what the heck did I just watch?
What the heck?
And I was just,
like, oh, I gotta get this on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And I added it to the list. I'm like, we need to see it now because I want to talk about it so bad. And upon my second rewatch, which is this one, I must say there are things that I didn't catch. Again, like in my other episodes, there are things that I didn't catch that I saw this time. And I was like, oh my gosh, this show. Look at the details, the subtlety. But yeah, no, it was on a whim that I watched it and I fell in love. Personally, this is like one of the best things I've ever seen.
I figured this was going to be another one of those shows where, like, with Golden Time, with Durarara, was like ones that you had seen before. And then we're talking about...
I mean, technically, I did see it before, but like not too far into the past. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, like when, like what, this Durarara came out, like what? In
a while
March
ago,
at this or something,
point,
in February.
I thought it was like 2007.
I mean
like about
the
podcast episode.
You dingus.
Oh, I thought you meant the show.
No. When did we release the? Well, whenever we released the Durarara one, when while we were watching Durarara, I watched it and I was like, let's go.
Okay.
So again, I just wanted to get this wonderful, wonderful series out into the wild. But anything else we want to say? Any of her first impressions? Nothing.
I was like, this is a cool atmosphere because this is something that you don't get a lot of. Anime,
yeah,
which is something that I really appreciate because I'm definitely gonna talk about it more in the presentation aspect. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
the 1930s in the United States of America.
Yeah, in a lot of Japanese anime.
No,
Surprisingly,
there's not a lot of gangster mob flicks.
You're
like, we've got a bunch of like fantasy shows. We've got like modern Tokyo,
and
like,
we even talk about the
Yakuza's,
but we don't ever go to the actual gangsters, like the Italian mob and whatnot.
The Italians.
Yeah, the Italians. If you're Italian, I'm sorry for my accent. Anyways,
I'm Italian. Fuck off.
Don't tell them that. They'll find you. They'll kill you.
They'll throw spaghetti at your house.
You didn't make that, Luigi. It's a rock.
But Mario. I want to throw the spaghetti at him.
No, Luigi. You can't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mario.
All right.
This is a bad bit. Let's go on.
Let's go. Let's start easy. Let's talk about everyone's favorite subject. Let's talk about the openings and endings. Let's go with that. So the first opening of this series is actually titled Guns and Roses. It's called Guns and Roses. And it was made by Paradise Lunch. And oh boy, is this opening one of the best things I've ever heard.
It is phenomenal. It really into it like the first time I heard it. Like there's a couple like Planets. I was kind of like, on the opening for a lot of the time. This I was like, yeah, this is my jam.
Well, like that's what I've said like before. Like I've listened to the opening,
yeah,
probably upwards of 100 times at this point over the last couple years.
Yeah,
it's just good. It's like The thing that I really love about it is that it fits exactly with the time period that they're hitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big band, jazz-esque, like swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it hits every exciting note of the anime itself because you have this I'm gonna go into visuals a little bit with this, but like there's a lot of drum hits and like a lot of like fast percussion that really brings this entire thing along with the brass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The trumpets fucking slay me every time. It's so good.
Yeah, dude.
It makes me so
happy. It makes
me
think of Mario Kart 8 music.
Dude, Mario Kart.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. It's just because it's like jazzy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like that weird thing where like every once in a while there's that one like key that's like, or one note that's like chromatic and doesn't fit in the key at all.
But it's
work it in. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And then I know I'm kind of taking a lot of everyone else's spotlight here, but the opening visuals.
It's all right, he's the opening guy.
And that's me. The opening and background.
I just
guy.
Listen
that's
to the
only
song.
Thing
I don't
I do.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
No, I pay attention every time because. So this and Durarara actually have a lot of similarities with the visuals because it introduces all these characters with their names and like a little cutout of them whenever like each one is introduced with a different color background.
Like a little minimalistic.
Yeah.
I fucking love it because it has the old-timey, like, well, not old-timey, but, you know, olden text font along with, like, because that's how the Bacano logo is. And yeah. And then it shows all these characters that you're like, and the first time you see it, you're like, holy shit, there's a billion, trillion characters in this. Yeah. But then by the end, you're like, oh yeah, him, her, them, he's dead. Rest in peace, I guess.
That guy's immortal.
Yeah, most of them are immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also feeds into all the personalities mm-hmm. that yeah. Of all it's, the characters that you see much.
You can continue, yeah.
But it's just like all the characteristics of every character mm-hmm. is bite-sized, but you can tell right. like Isaac and Miria are like thieving a candy place. Mm-hmm. Like they're stealing candy. And then they have like Miza and
Firo
like shopping at the hat shop that you see like I guess like not halfway through the series. I think it's episode 4 or 5. Yeah, and then you see all the Gandors playing cards. Then you have
Nice and Jacuzzi.
Sillard, that's a stupid name.
Sillard Quates.
And Anis working on the formula of life. And then, like, the conductor, who actually I love because the rail tracer slash...
The rail tracer.
You know they left they left his name out purposefully, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Claire Stanfield, because I love that because he's in it. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, not a big part of it, but you can see him and, like, you notice who he is by, like, the third or fourth episode, and you're like, that's kind of weird. Why didn't he get something?
Right, is he not important?
Until you realize he's fucking insane and changes his name every other day, so you're like, oh, boy.
Oh, that's
and
great.
There's a whole lot of little nuances, like, with Lad Russo. Mm-hmm. He's playing darts while his, like, fiance is getting like champagne and closing the door at the same time.
It all flows. There's like a flow to everything.
Oh, and then at the end, obviously, with Jacuzzi and Nice just fucking blowing shit up, and then Eve and whatever his face is,
Dallas.
Eve and Dallas, yeah, them, and then finally Cheslov, who you're like. Dang, look at that boy. Why is he at the end?
Why is this boy so pertinent to the case?
He is, though, because he's immortal. And then Isaac and Mary are the jokers, and they wink at you, and it's very cute. And I'm like, yes!
It's fantastic, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, again, the music paired very well with the visuals. This is probably the one time I've not skipped. One times I've never skipped the opening. The
are
opening
you
is just
serious?
Like, you just watch it. I just watch it straight through always. Never skip it.
No, but you've never... Wait a second. I just need to dissect this real quick.
Hmm?
So you skip by Dragon Maid's opening.
Yeah, a couple times.
Maiden Abyss?
Trigon's
Maiden Abyss
opening?
Has like...
Yeah, Trigon I skipped
Space
a lot
Dandy?
Of. Never,
you
okay.
skipped
Space Dandy? Only because I've been listening
Dragon
to it nonstop. Yeah.
Do Ra Ra Ra?
Yeah.
I don't even remember Do Ra Ra song.
What?
You could probably go back and like I probably did say I listened to it a lot of the times or I listened to it, but like I know that at least for this show, never skip the beginning. Never.
Sometimes I'll skip it just like for time, but I did not Mm-mm. skip for time
for
on
most
Bacano.
Of the anime. Unless
I didn't
it's
skip
Golden
for Kendo,
May,
friends.
I'll skip. Oh, I did not skip for Kendo.
Look at you,
friends,
look at you,
there,
but you skip for this one.
La 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 la.
No, I didn't skip for this one. I okay. skipped for Golden Time.
La 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 la.
We all know. Even I skipped the gold.
Okay. So, and then let's head over to the ending.
Okay. So the ending, my friends, the ending, I very much like. It's called Calling, and it's sung by Oda Kaori. Kaori. Thank you. And I think it was a very mellow time. I feel like it actually kind of fit in to the whole hectic scene that is in the show.
I agree with that, but at first it was really like, okay, this is really like out of place to me at first.
Mm-hmm.
It felt more right and closer to the end whenever mm-hmm. more people like were fucking getting shot and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, at first I was like, this is kind of weird, but it's mm-hmm. such a good song that I can't really dock it too many points. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's another one of those slideshows.
Yeah.
But this is one of the ones that I probably my favorite out of the bunch that we've seen. thus far, because, like, yes, it shows the characters and, you know, kind of, like, somber, but it like, has the railroad, which is a very important part of it. It's not just, you know, one road. And it's, and it kind of turns a little bit halfway through, which I like. And then there's the water that is above the tracks that has a reflection of the tracks on, which I also really enjoyed, just because, like, you know, Dal is drowning forever for a year, and spoilers.
Spoilers. You just remember, guys, spoilers.
And he goes, spoilers.
Why are you listening to this? There's spoilers.
Spoilers. But, yeah, I liked it. Could have definitely been better, but it's the ending.
Now
let's
compare this one with Black Lagoon, because they kind of have something similar, where it's kind of like a much more different take on an ending song than we've had, at least the ones that we've seen in these couple seasons.
Yeah,
Lagoon's was a lot more like artistic. I feel like overall, like with the visuals added. This one was just kind of like Chuck said, slideshow. That happens a lot, you know.
This is a good song on its own. With Black Lagoon, the song isn't my favorite. Like, there is a little bit of animation with the feet, but that's not a big thing for me. I'm like, you know what, it's fine.
He doesn't like toes, don't forget.
that's not a bit. It's just a thing that I dislike. It's just real.
Everybody, don't send him any pictures of toes. Please don't.
Oh, my God.
I said they don't, so they won't. This is the internet. They will listen.
Oh, my God.
Behave yourselves, fappers.
I'm talking to you, Garb. That's all. I was actually referring to you, Garb.
I make no promises.
Okay.
The ending's good.
Ending's very good. I like it as well.
It's very good.
All right. Enough beating around the bush. Let's go into the animation.
So, Chuck.
Let's go.
Them backgrounds are solid. I just didn't want to get that out of the way, because I knew you all would be like, oh, you stupid moron. I'm like, you're right.
It's true. But I was waiting on it, because I'm an ass.
I know you are. But there's, like, once again, you don't see this a lot in anime, so I'm not drained from it. Mm-hmm. This isn't Tokyo that I've seen 50,000 times. This is, like, I've seen some of this in, like, Western media, like, obviously The Godfather and all those stuff, but... You don't. Pano, what was that?
That was me. You said The Godfather. Okay, no, you can continue. That's all right. I'll talk.
Okay. What are you, a tough guy?
Sorry, that was my father.
No, hi, Dad.
No, I mean like father. You know,
Jesus,
the mafia.
But, so, like, the backgrounds, because there's basically two major parts to it. Either New York, you see, or you see the train. Mm-hmm. The train backgrounds and animation especially plays to the confinedness of a train. Like, how small the corridors are in little rooms, and you're in a dining car, you're on top of it. Like, there's a lot of fun things that they did with it to really play on, like, the old and damp, quiet, confined space that is a train. And then you go to New York, and it's a big old mafia town, and they have all the old cars, and they got just, like, speakeasies, people just drinking, hidden, though, because that's illegal.
It's just prohibition. Shh. The war hasn't started yet. Shh. Don't tell the president. Shh. Don't tell the heat.
But, yeah, it worked very well. And for an anime that was released in 2007, over 10 years ago at this point, I think it did very well for what it had.
It looked good. Like, I will say it's not as colorful as I typically like.
The colors are very, like...
Well,
that's what made me say it's one of those quote-unquote Pino anime, like Durarara, like really gray.
But I really like that kind of style, mostly because it just fits with the time period. Like, when I think of something old, it's like Charles Chaplin or like...
Say it worked more here than it did in Durarara.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't knock it on this just because it's not colorful, because it fits. Mm-hmm. Like, 100%.
It was a little more bright, too.
There were a couple parts that were, like, way brighter and that I appreciated greatly. But then there was also a lot of use of dark colors, especially in, like, the mafia hideouts that they have, which, like, to show kind of, like, the like the atmosphere that's there, kind of like the crime aspect, and it's kind of dark and there's not a whole lot of good stuff happening, so I really appreciated that. I did notice, you know, there were some like far away anime characters that are
they're real fantastic. Not great.
Their mouth was like, just opening and closing, and that was it.
But other than that, I didn't notice a lot of things. One thing that I absolutely loved about this is the blood and like parts going back to the body.
That was really cool.
I loved it.
It was great, yeah. Like they were very liberal about using blood here too. Yeah. It was like especially the fight scene with Lad Russo, who we'll get into later in the dining area, where he just beats the crap out of a guy in a black suit. So much so that he walks over one of his dead body, his buddies, steps on his face, leaves him a black eye, and then continues to pound the other guy until his face is literally kind of like almost concave. And I was like, oh boy, this is it's a goodie.
It got a little grotesque sometimes. I was like, ugh. But,
well, they are kind of beating up and shooting people's and considering, heads off.
Considering it was a pay-per-view show, I was assuming that they could be a little more liberal with a lot of things that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's like probably one of the reasons why it's a lot more graphic. Like, I'd say even it's much... I feel like it's a lot more graphic than maybe Black Lagoon in terms of blood 100%. And violence. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There's like some weird stuff in Black Lagoon, but this definitely takes the cake.
Like specifically in the last special, where like the mouse gets ran over.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh right. Yeah.
Oh, that mangled mouse. Right.
I wanted to discuss not only the far away people that appear on the show, but sometimes even the close up.
But the women and children too.
All of them. I'll kill all of them because my name's Lad. No. I will say I think the animation fit at least the designs of the characters, but sometimes their faces seemed a little off. Like it wasn't to the point where I was like, ugh, disgusting. But it was like, okay, this face doesn't supposed to look like this.
It wasn't like Kimono Friends,
right? It also I feel like it also avoided the the thing that, again, I'm gonna compare Black Lagoon a lot. It also tried to avoid kind of that realism. And like they mixed it much better than they did in Black Lagoon, because in Black Lagoon we had our boy Dutch, who was like very very like
and then there's realistic, and then there's Rock,
and then there's Rock. I'm just an anime character. Right here we have
I'm just a Japanese anime character, but you can call me Rock.
I'm your protagonist.
Hi, I'm Ash Ketchum. But here we have like a lot of different like faces that actually fit together. Like all the kids, they look kind of they look very anime. Some of these eyes that people have, even the serious characters, are like big and like round, like big.
Or like compared, the old guy. What's his name? The old guy who's immortal.
He's Zillard. Like 200. Zillard Quake.
Sure.
The guy with the beard.
With the beard.
The one who speaks like the one who had talked to the other old guys.
That was really good.
Goes like this.
Right.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
His eyes were like perfectly intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Good.
And also,
because he looked old and creepy.
There was the other, like, some of these characters don't even open their eyes, too, which, again, like, it doesn't bother me. It just makes me think back to, like, old cartoons, which kind of fit as well, at least in my opinion. So, like, you had, like, there was, like, a guy in, what's it, Jacuzzi's Game? There was two guys.
Sugar Cube never opened his eyes.
Sugar Cube never opened his eyes. They all have the Walker effect from Durarara. It's just, they
guys,
just
his name. His name is Mr. Sugar Cube. Actually, no, his eyes did open.
You want a sugar? You want some?
You want some? Or some of my sugar cube?
Something else don't see a lot in anime is, and again, I guess it has to do with the time period that they're focusing on, is you don't see a lot of different, like, colors on the actual, like, people themselves. Like, we had a nice variety of, like, different races that represented
you. You could have worded that in a thousand better ways.
Yeah, that do was want to real bad. Out?
No,
we're not. No, that's it's
I
fine.
Just like
it
the diversity
just really
that we have
weird.
Here.
Yeah,
that's what I like. The diversity.
The only thing that there like you know, it's getting better in anime at the time, but Duga, the African American employee of the newspaper, has the very stereotypical like big lips, and I'm like, I don't really like that. But that's
But the Mexican guy doesn't look Mexican. I thought he was Native American.
I guess it's just, that, like, it's supposed to be, like, the 1930s, but it's still fucking racist.
Well, but, like, I don't think that's because they were trying to go for that feel. I think that's just how they were drawn.
Yeah.
When it was... They're, like, anime and manga is definitely, like, straying away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's... There's still a lot that's happening, and I, you know, it kind of... Every time I saw him, I'm like, oh, okay.
Actually, he was one of my... I liked... His style.
I liked him as a character for sure.
You know, you had, like, have you ever seen Rush Hour 2 where you had Don Cheadle like wearing the robe?
Yes.
He reminded me of Duga because he had like that kind of Chinese attire. I was like, is he gonna tell me he has like a Chinese like martial artist master? But
yeah.
No, it was Donnie. Donnie's the Mexican. Sorry. He says so himself. He's like, I walked all the way here from Mexico. Nobody told me to come here.
Nobody told me to come here.
But no, yeah. Is there anything else we want to talk about the animation-wise?
No. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it obviously wasn't the best animation I've ever seen, but it worked.
It works.
And there was no part that took me out of the experience.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was above average, but it didn't blow me away.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Soundtrack.
Soundtrack's real good.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Every score is good. Every single song is good.
There's like a
Was in the like how you mentioned that the opening is very like traditional for the period.
Yeah.
There were a lot more bits of modern mixing and music strewn about throughout the overall OST, but it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like no points against it, obviously. It's just a neat little observation.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, like, in a couple of songs, you can hear, like, a guitar that's, like, obviously an electric guitar that's not,
But, you know, that still, like, works.
But, no,
it still works.
There's nothing that took me out of it, once again. And there's a lot of, like, so, I'm talking about Lad again, Lad Russo. When he was, like, beating someone up, there's a lot of stray chords that you hear and a lot of just notes that seem that to me, at least, they seemed like they were improv and just seemed like some guy was sitting watching this and just started like just would play at like a
fucking
hit, just a
maybe.
Random note. Honest, like, it's real fucking good. I'm just going to say that right now. I loved this entire soundtrack.
Yeah, there's me too. They took advantage of it. Like, they played it, like, louder than a lot of shows, you know? They owned it.
And
they knew they had a good soundtrack.
Yeah. They left... They gave it room to breathe. Like, they didn't try and fit everything with dialogue. Sometimes, actions and music can speak louder than words. And that is... You can see it most prominently here. Because it is so good. Like, oh my god. This... one of my favorite anime OSTs ever, just flat out.
Hey man, the entire thing's on YouTube if you'd like to take a swing. I've been listening to it for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been listening to the SoundCloud.
Ooh.
They have all of that music on SoundCloud.
So good.
That's good.
Very good.
It just makes me so happy.
There are some tracks that actually kind of remind me of the same kind of style that actually some of the tracks in Durarara have. There's only like one or two, I believe, that just like slaps me in the face. I'm like, I've heard this somewhere else before, and like the series that only pops up to mind is Durarara, and
was
I kind of
like
that
the same composer maybe in,
perhaps I could probably double check, but I won't. I mean, I will.
Let's see.
Let's take our time. Music by
check the wiki.
Makoto Yoshimori.
No, there's a one song that in particular that I absolutely
Durarara,
adore.
Same composer.
Yeah, makes sense. It's Rojiura no Hosoko. That's the song that it plays when Isaac and Miria are digging. Like, that's the harmonica song, but then leads into like guitar, and it's a fucking bop, dude. Like, holy shit. Guys, if anyone wants to figure out what that's referencing, check out Upchucked on YouTube. You'll find a very funny video.
Very funny.
Can you just put it in the description? Because it's really funny.
Yeah. Well, the description for the
YouTube
for
one.
The YouTube upload. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's good though. It makes me giggle.
We all love the music. It's fantastic.
Music is fucking fantastic. It's not like If I was like to try and put it against something like JoJo, you can't do it.
It's like two different things.
They're so different. Mm-hmm. And like Bakano is definitely an outlier of anime soundtracks, but it's so fucking good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about it.
Mm-mm.
Which there's is rare single, for me.
There's not a single song that I do not like. Which yeah, is
there's
wild.
Not one where I'm like, oh, this song, you know. Mm-hmm.
Understandable. Understandable.
Put that on a shirt.
Okay.
All right. So if there's no more things for the soundtrack, I'd actually like to talk a little bit in depth about the plot. Are we good?
Go for it.
All right. So this series
you should
takes
describe
it.
The plot out of order too.
I was going to explain that. Yes.
I was going to describe that as my episode.
So this show takes storytelling in a different way, and according to a couple sources that I've been reading, it's actually been inspired by a different type of storytelling that I believe, if I have the right tab open in a second,
God, I know,
was inspired by the movie 21 Grams, which is a 2003 film where
I've not heard of it.
I haven't heard of it either, but apparently it was also not a very linear narrative. It was a lot of pieces scattered around, and then to tell an ultimate story.
I made the joke that, like, is this going to be some, like, Pulp Fiction-ass shit here?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And we got it. So the beginning of the series starts off in a little room with a little girl and who we don't know at the time is actually the news reporter or the head honcho of the... what was the name? The newspaper place in the New York. I don't remember what it's called, sadly.
I don't remember either.
And it's them discussing sort of the events that happened aboard the train called the Flying Pussyfoot, I believe in the year early 1930s. And so,
yeah, it was
in the
30s.
1931 mm-hmm. is okay. When the Pussyfoot was on its way.
And so it's a lot of this little girl and this... this reporter kind of talking about when this story actually begins, and they pose a lot of things like, oh, this story actually begins a year earlier when so-and-so happened, or this actually took place years ago in the 1700s aboard a different ship. And I, the first time I saw the first episode, I was not entirely sure where they were going, but they were throwing a lot of information out at you. They throw names, they throw little segments. And at first, it just felt a little bit overwhelming, but it's the good kind where you're like, okay, so this is like a mystery show.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to put the pieces together, and I really like that. And every episode from there on, anytime it would be a different segment, most of the times they would show you the date that it would take you to. But more mm-hmm. the other times, once you got used to what the time periods were, which you were either in the city of New York, you were either on the Pussyfoot, or you were either on the boat, they wouldn't ignore that, and they would kind of flow in a kind of strange manner. You'd be in New York for a couple scenes, and then explosion, you're back on the train. Or you're on the train, and you find blood everywhere, and then bam, this library was shot up. And whatnot, and the story keeps going that way. It feeds you information little by little, and sometimes it gives you information ahead of time than what you realize. Mm-hmm. They actually showed you showed you the end at the beginning as well.
Really?
Yeah. And upon my second mm-hmm. watch through, you see a lot of these like nuances and these little details that you didn't realize before. And I was like, this makes so much sense. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I believe it was the first or second episode. They're at the train station, right? And Miza's staring at someone we don't know yet, and his frown turns into a smile. And I'm just like, that's when he saw Chesla. And then, lo and mm-hmm. behold, at episode 13, that's when that was Chesla. I was like, oh my, okay, this is good. And like, you can piece these all these things together. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this show is blowing my mind right now. But again, every episode is just like, it focuses.
It sounds
on
like
certain...
they wanted people to rewatch this,
mm-hmm. and it's very rewatchable.
It's a shame that they didn't put it on anything except like Blu-ray. Then,
mm-hmm. I mean,
maybe Toonami picks it up. that's my Toonami plug.
Actually, I don't work for them.
What?
Toonami, please sponsor.
Toonami,
guys. Toonami, could you
put Toonami and Crunchyroll at war?
Guys, could if Toonami just wanted to put our podcast on the air?
That'd be great.
You could do that.
There's no way in hell.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah. No one would be stupid enough.
Hey, we were stupid enough to make it.
I mean, that's, and we have people listening. Okay, that's just me.
We have a person listening.
We have our moms.
What is he
saying?
My mom
would never listen to trash.
That's my mom. But yeah, I love this kind of non-linear storytelling, which again, I'm crazy about this stuff, but how was it for you guys when you kind of got into the first couple episodes?
I feel like I should have hated it, but I was okay with it.
What do you mean?
I just sort of accepted it.
I hate this. I mean, like, are you more of like, you want the information now?
No.
No? You just...
There's okay. No, just whatever. I'm not in any hurry.
There's no madness behind the mayhem?
No.
Okay.
Like, I just... It was confusing a little bit at first, because, like... You see one, like, a newspaper, or, like, a girl and, like, a newspaper guy just, like, talking about this event, and then it throws you into this event, but then it goes, like, the year after, and then the year before, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, that's so much.
It feels like your grandpa telling you a story. It really does. Where it's like, oh, wait, I have to explain this part first, and then, and you're like, okay.
Oh, my
and then
God. This,
yeah.
But I did really like the, I liked it a lot. Once you, like, get past the first, like, episode or two and you know these characters, it works.
Mm. Once you get the outline down and, like, you can kind of easily put it in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Maybe not easily, but...
Mm-hmm.
Here's a tidbit for you boys. Apparently, according to the wiki, it took about over a year for this script to firmly be developed.
That does not surprise me.
That doesn't surprise me.
With a lot of things, and I'm just like, wow, the dedication and the result. Yeah,
you can.
And the result that we got at the end, where it's
you can definitely tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like there's no plot holes that I feel like were like in the show at all. I feel like everything was at the end just closed off completely. Like everything.
I'm not good at picking out plot holes.
Oh,
so it wouldn't matter to me.
I'm good at picking my nose.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, that's disgusting.
Type it out. Type it out now. Type that you were mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Don't type it. I was just kidding.
My nose.
Paint my room. My room.
Clouds.
Clouds.
But yeah, no. I'm surprised. I thought I would actually have one of you not like the this kind of storytelling or this kind of way that this anime was set up. But I'm glad that
what
you guys...
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know, man.
I did that preemptive thing where, like, whenever you told me that it was going to be done that way, I was like, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
That's going to be stupid.
I was like, hey.
And then I watched it, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is fine.
Right.
I don't think you told... No, I don't think you told me anything.
I was like, you better pay attention because this story is, like, everywhere. And then he's like, this is stupid. It was, like, the first week.
Well, that's... That's what Garb says anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So, again...
What do we got now?
I mean, since we talked about how the story was kind of unlinear, right? But, like, if we were to put it in a linear sense, it all starts... I'm just going to real fast. It's ages ago, and these immigrants, I believe, are traveling to the New World. As a result, they decided to summon... A demon using was it alchemy? I think or
alchemy. Yeah,
Dragon
they were,
Balls.
They were all mm-hmm. alchemists,
and they all wanted this elixir, this panacea, to give them.
And they summoned Shenron.
They summoned a guy. He gives them the panacea, but he gives only one of the characters, Maiza, the knowledge of how to make this thing. And now everyone on the boat's like, yeah, I'm fine with this. And then we have this old man by the name of Sillard who didn't like that. Kills everyone on the boat. Well, most people on the boat.
He tries to, like, that's his life goal at this point.
And, you know, that event happened. Everybody from the boat split off into their own little sections. Flash forward to a couple years, to the 1900s. You have
1930s.
You have Maiza, who was part of the that boat. Working with the mafia, with the I believe it's with the Gandor family,
mm-hmm.
And he is he's basically like the mentor of a guy named what's his name? Firo. The old man, Sillard, who was on the boat, is trying to make the elixir all these years ahead. Chesla, who was also on the boat, is just he's looking out for himself at this point. And
he's just a boy. Right,
and then around this time it's where the events of the flying it's the events of I believe the events that first happen are Sillard dying, I believe, because that would explain why Isaac and Miria are immortal on the Pussyfoot when they meet Chez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, so it's the whole Miza, Firo, and Sillard incident trying to get rid of Sillard while Sillard is trying to get the Panacea. And then a year later, flying Pussyfoot with Jacuzzi, Isaac and Miria, and the black suits and Lad Russo on the train trying to get to New York. Because Ennis is lonely. But again, if you watch the entire series, you'll understand. My explanation was probably a little too general, but I recommend watching it. All right, let's move on.
It's kind of a hard one to explain.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, just watch
it. It's about vampires.
They go...
They eat you with their hands.
There's two kinds of immortals. There's people who are immortal, but they keep aging and they just get real old. And then there's the ones that stay the same age.
There's also the homunculus, which is what Ennis is. But
The getting real old part is because
it was imperfect.
It was an imperfect elixir. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this show.
I think on the wiki they call them imperfect immortals.
Yeah. And it goes everywhere. But that's a lot of damage. All right, so.
Well, wasn't that perfect at that point?
At that point, it was only in the two bottles that were perfect. They gave Dallas and his pals the one that isn't.
The imperfect one.
Yeah. And that's why they grow old.
but then that's why all the Russo family, not the Russo family, the Gandors.
The Gandors, the Russos.
They're all never gonna age.
What was the other family? The Russos
and the Martillo family.
Oh gosh, the Martillos. But all right, that's basically the plot. Let's move on. This is my favorite part because I like to group every character together in their specific groups. So let's start with the people on the boats. I'm gonna split it up by time period. So we'll talk about all the people who existed. Who are already immortal. So let's talk about Miza first. It's really quick. He wasn't too big here.
Hey, Miza.
But he has an important role in the series. Miza was basically the main alchemist on the ship, and he had a little brother who he shared the information with, who was then murdered or consumed by Sillard. I like Miza.
Yep. Miza doesn't really appear that much in the anime just because he wasn't on the boat, or not the boat, the train.
Yeah.
But he's
still pertinent, yeah. But I just want to bring him
up. Didn't
he
show up, like, near the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was in the beginning and in the end. Because he's. Yeah. Well, because he's part of the
Gandors.
The Gandors. Yeah.
But
so that's why he was there at the train station at the end.
The two main ones we're going to focus on now is just Sillard and Chesla. So let's start with Sillard. What do you guys think? Sillard,
I don't like him.
He's evil. He's an old man. Selfish.
He was cool. Like I said, he's really intimidating. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the final fight with him. That was real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It was a cool fight, mostly because they called him a dingus.
And they run him over. I thought that was...
They suck him up.
Right? Like,
consume
for an old man. Like, I like what he told Miza. He was like, you were just here, like, not honing your skills. Here I am, like, 200 years later, focusing on the day that I kill you or something like that. I'm like, this old man is gonna, he knows kung fu. He's gonna kick my butt.
He is.
And I felt like, I felt that intimidation from him, at least, because he's like, I would call him the father, but he just created Ennis, which is, like, beyond me of how that even works.
Yeah, and so they like have a mind connection.
Mm-hmm. And then like I started asking questions once he was consumed. I'm like, where does Ennis lie in all this? Is she still alive? I guess she is because she's not dead yet. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, and she was saying that like she's dying, and then he was like, "Wow, I don't know how, but I know the thing that would make you not die."
I was like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah, because Cool, I guess I consumed.
Yum, yum.
Tastes
what happened
tastes
to
like
all
sky.
The sillard? I eat those food.
I eat those food.
All right, and Chez.
What happened to our the Martillo family? I ate those food.
What happened to the passengers on the train?
I threw them off.
What happened to Misa's little brother?
He was definitely eating those foods.
I'm thinking of someone else. I'm thinking of
Chezlov. Who we're going on to next. Chezlov is a little boy who stayed little because he drank the panacea in the
when
boat.
When he was little.
He was but a bab.
And he has a very troubled history. I felt kind of bad.
I swear to God that his voice actor is Dende.
It's Dende.
From Dragon
Dende.
Ball.
It's got to be Dende.
Okay.
Because of that scream.
I'll look it up right
Go
now.
Go look it up. But
Maxie Whitehead, who's that?
While you do that, I'll just explain a little bit about
Dende. Yep. Dende. Yeah, well, Dende from Kai, not the original.
Yeah. From Kai.
Yeah.
So Chesla, he was very buddy-buddy with another man. I don't remember his name per se.
Who?
Because, like, when he was on the boat, Chesla was always seen next to this long-haired guy whose eyes you would never see, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the evil guy.
He was the evil guy.
Poked eyes.
So he stayed with this long-haired man who I'm looking for the name right now. And for over, I believe, maybe a century or more, he was tortured by this man.
Not Beg Gera. It's Labru Fermet Viralesque. Mm-hmm.
We'll just call him LeBru for short. All right, LeBron.
Fermet is what they call him. Dude, I can't believe LeBron is
so immortal. So LeBron was torturing this little boy for most of his life. And I've always, for one, always felt bad for Chez at that moment once I found out that he was just like abused.
Poked in the eyes.
And it was all for the excuse of seeing the limits of their power, even though obviously the limits is you're never gonna die, you're just gonna come back any second. And comes a time where Chez has enough and consumes him with his hand. And ever since then, he's just been living on his own, trying to make his way around the world, trying not to be eaten.
Yep, it happens.
Yeah. That was cool when he got his head blown off, though, at the beginning, right? You didn't expect that, did you?
Nope.
It has a lot of that.
Yeah. No, there's one character that... Well, he's an immortal. He was on the original boat. Mm-hmm. Elmer C. Albatross. Fucking love this guy. He's the smiling guy.
Let me see a smile.
I'm an albatross.
I came to see a smile.
Come on.
There's a joke that only two
come
people...
Come on, Sylvie, please smile.
Come on, I just want to smile.
I thought he was great.
And that's why I like him, because he smiles.
He smiles. He's a happy man.
That part's spooky to me.
So I'm going to get into a little side thing here, at least with Chez. So since these episodes that we saw were only like the beginning parts of the light novel of an ongoing series, it's actually discovered that Mr. LeBron is actually alive. He was not consumed.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers for everyone else who wanted to read it. But he's alive and he's like, ooh, he's doing some stuff. And ooh, this story takes, like, I think right now they're currently in the year 2002 currently with the light novel. Okay. So there's a lot of things that happen over the past.
I remember like the ending scene of the main show, like the 13 episode original run, like ended in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why aren't we dead yet? No.
I don't know.
We have an age. All right, let's.
Okay, what's that, Cat Daddy?
Meow.
All right, so let's move on to the year 1930. Let's have some fun. We're gonna talk about Jacuzzi's gang. Let's start off with
Jacuzzi's a good guy.
Talk about the big honcho himself, Jacuzzi Splots. He kind of talks like this. He also,
hey, it's me, Jacuzzi.
I love him.
I can't believe
he's it. He's a sweet.
I was in love with him from like the first moment.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. His whole thing is that he and Nice were childhood friends, and after an accident that you actually see in the anime, Nice loses her eyes and is badly one of her eyes and is badly scarred.
Yeah.
And as a result, Jacuzzi wants to be, like, you know, as an act of solidarity and friendship, gets a huge tattoo on the side of his eye.
Yeah, the sword tattoo. Yeah. And that scene with her blowing her eye off, that was fucking scary.
I know, right?
Like, that was probably the scariest part of this entire anime. Because it's just her, like, playing with an explosive, then it blows her face, and she just screams for, like, 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. That like creeped the shit out of me. It was so scary. Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
And after the years passed by, I believe that they eventually, create a little gang, and they primarily like bootleg things. So like they work in the underground world of the
Age of Prohibition. Because it is the 1930s.
Yeah. So like they make bombs thanks to a niece who obviously didn't learn her lesson.
Well, she did. She hasn't blown herself up since.
Yeah, see?
And so, I mean, they've been blowing up other stuff, but, you know.
Yeah. But not them.
So, you know, their activities, they do some thievery, they do some bootlegging, they do some theft, they gamble, you know, the usual, mm-hmm. you know, mafioso gangster stuff. Except these are a little, like, a close-knit gang. Like, I think about 20 or something. But I like Jacuzzi because he's like, he has that kind of leadership thing. The only problem, and I wouldn't call it a problem,
but he's such a freaker outer,
is that he has this issue that he like freaks out and cries. Like, he's very overly sensitive.
Well, he's scared. Wouldn't you be scared?
I mean, yes, I would be scared, but you know, that's a lot to take in.
It is. And he just cries. So then whenever a hard situation comes up, he can't cry. Mm-hmm. And he said he already cried.
And I think that's actually like,
I think it's a big move.
Yes.
It's a really interesting character trait that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm.
It's not your typical, haha, never fear, I'm here. It's more of a, save me. which...
We're all screwed. Zoinks.
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 Reggie. What are you doing, Rokusi?
That's so stupid.
Where's the caveman?
Well, I'm in here.
And I'm out here, and the heat's out there.
But I want to know where the rail tracer is. The rail tracer's out there, and we're in here. But wait, we're out
and
there.
And he's the conductor.
But wait, we're not really the conductor, but I'm in here. But who's the sheriff? Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's...
He's a good boy. Good. He's a good boy.
I really like him.
Apparently, he's got a grandson called Bobby Splot. So that's something to look out for. I love that.
Bobby Splot?
Bobby, I'm painting my room, Dad. Clouds. Anyways, next.
You do such a good impression of him.
We have the ever so wonderful lady who blew up her eyes, Niece Hollystone. Mm-hmm. Niece is very a good contrast to Jacuzzi. She's outgoing. She's very, you know, I guess social. She's the one who pushes Jacuzzi to be more social. It'd be good for him, you know? Like, he's... Mm-hmm. I feel like Holly's the whole reason that he is actually talked to Isaac and Miria, along with Chez and the senator's daughter. Yeah. Giving him the reasons to save the people on the train, as opposed to just like, oh, we gotta get out of here. But yeah. Sorry for your eyes, niece.
Got him.
All right.
It happens.
Let's see. I want to talk about more pertinent characters. We got those two out of the rate. Let's talk about some of our baddies. We'll talk about Lad Russo.
It's me, Lad. I like to kill.
Now, yeah, Lad Russo, he has a knack for killing. He thinks that, it's fun for him. And he has, he's basically the strongest guy in that boat, or on that train, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's a sadistic man. From a Russo family. I believe they are located in Chicago, I believe, if I'm correct. And he has his own set of followers who wear white suits on the train, who are also as sadistic as he is. Now, I personally, even though he's a horrible, horrible, horrible man, I very much enjoyed his character a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yep. The part where he's like, oh, I hear screaming, and he starts skipping down the hallway. I was just like, this man is something
else. Also, the skipping animation was pretty good.
Yes, it was very good. Hey, I mean, I'm not only the man of the hops, I also love the skips. But no, he's just so, I don't want to say, well, I guess he is like, he's so full of himself. He's like, I'm the best. But the way of thinking that he has, it's just so different from everyone else. He's so loud. He's proud. Yeah. He's out there.
He's a weirdo.
But this weirdo's like the best character, or at least one of the best characters in my opinion. Like, remember, I think it was in episode 2 where you actually see him and he's like on the floor. No, it's episode 1 probably. He's like on the ground and like he lifts his hands up and it's just literally the bone of his arm. And I was like, oh yeah. My gosh, what the heck did this man do to receive this? And like finding out, mm-hmm. I'm just like, this man is hard boiled as they come. Oh god.
Yeah.
I like eggs.
Also, he has a girlfriend eggs he wants are to taste.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone kill you before I do, okay?
I'll kill you before I kill Only me before I kill
can
you.
Kill you. But unless I die, then I can kill you while I'm dead.
Gotcha.
I'll figure it out.
It happens. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about our boy. Our next boy is another strong contender for best girl, in my opinion. His name is Claire. His name's Claire. I forgot his last name. That's why I kept saying Claire.
His name is Stanfield.
Claire Stanfield, though you don't see his name at the beginning of the series, is the conductor of the train who has many aliases. He is also known as Vino for I believe the Martillos and the Gandors.
Yeah.
He's known mm-hmm. as the Rail Tracer for everyone on the train and Jacuzzi. And
yep.
Oh my gosh. This man.
It's the Rail Tracer. We gotta get out of here.
He's really good. He's a really interesting character just because he kills and then he changes his name and kills some more.
I know. And the weird thing is, he's like not, like if you talk to him and if you paid your ticket, he's not a bad guy.
You just chill.
He's just like, he's also very full of himself. He has that belief that he can't die, which I thought was
yeah.
like,
which is funny because
he's not immortal. But it's like he's like that whole kind of like persona yep. about him was kind of scary at my first watch. Yep. I was like, this man is insane. Like, I'm the director of this movie. I cannot die. And like, good Lord, like he. I don't think he can die.
We don't know.
Yeah. But what did you guys think about him?
He was great. I liked him a lot. He was out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, fuck, here he comes.
Here comes Claire.
It's the boy.
Don't make fun of his name. Mm-hmm. It's not a girl name.
Dumb.
And his the only thing I kind of was confused about, even though I guess I liked at the end, was his romance with Chane, which is I didn't know how I felt about that whole like I love you now.
Yeah, I guess it kind of seemed a little bit out of place, mm-hmm. but it still kind of fit with the characters mm-hmm. of those two.
I mean, it doesn't help that she can't talk, but you know.
No, well, yeah. Well, then that's just another weird thing about them.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Claire's out of the way. Let's talk about.
Come on, rapid fire.
Fero. Let's talk about Fero, the guy who looks like the main character.
Hey, it's me, Fero.
I like Fero.
Fero's a good character. Doesn't get enough screen time.
He's a nice boy. He just wanted to give her button back. He just
wanted to be in the mafia.
Right, yeah. And then he got promoted.
Don't
and
we
they
all?
Shot they shot Isaac.
Oh no, Isaac.
You're gonna die, Isaac? Yeah, eventually. That was the funniest part. I legitimately laughed.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Let's forget every other character. Let's move on to Isaac and Miria. Let's talk about why we're really here.
They are the best characters. Just flat out.
Easily.
They're funny. They bring so much, because like it's dreary pretty much for this anime. Mm-hmm. But then you have these two who are just fucking goofy, having a great time. They dress up as weird characters. And
I want a show just about them.
Honestly, I'd be okay with it. Just them thieving.
The best part is that their Wikipedia is just, it's both of them combined. So it's Isaac and Miria.
Well, of course. Well, yeah. Like Isaac. And then Miria's basically just second.
Right.
It's just the second person.
Like, from the looks of them, you would never think that they've robbed, like, many mafia, many buildings, many people. And yet they...
Many doors.
Yet they're wanted all over the all over the United States. Like, that time we stole that museum door.
How can they get in if we take the door? God, so fucking funny.
You're sad because of all the money in your house? Then we'll take it for you.
Yeah. And you will
then
have
there's nothing to be worried good about. Life.
How?
They were fucking... God, it's just really good. I love them all.
And
they're just great.
They're the comedic relief. They don't know they're eternal.
The much needed.
Very much needed in such a dreary
But they also play a pretty decent part of the story.
Like, they know they have a connection to every one of the characters, at least.
Yeah. Well, it's just because they're so nice and they talk to people. Right?
Even if they got run over by a car.
It happens. You come back here.
Oh, if I find them. Oh, my gosh.
When you steal from one of these big families, they come after you. So you have to start stealing from a smaller family for a while.
Merry Christmas.
That's a month early. I know.
They were dressed up as Babe Ruth.
They're Babe Ruth and Ty Cobbs. Wouldn't they just... Doesn't this wipe out like 50 of our robberies? Yeah, that makes sense.
God, you know my favorite scene.
Well,
with
Miria,
them,
let's go.
My favorite scene is when they go into the hat store, and it's like,
oh my god,
you didn't see anything.
Act very, very, act like we belong. Oh, what are we
that
supposed
was so good.
To buy? His eyes were staring right into me. He knew our every move. It's fucking good.
I didn't know you guys were a nun and a pastor.
A sister and a
father?
A father and a sister.
That was so good.
I'm the man of the cloth. Oh my god, it's so funny.
They're just like the
I
best. If you
them.
Needed a good laugh, this is where you'd find it.
Oh my god. And then they do like good stuff too. Like they save Chez from falling off the thing. It's just such a good...
They're very loyal, especially when someone does something nice to them.
And they're just nice. Mm-hmm. They're just like very like even though they're robbers, they're like trusting.
They're also we're gonna rob from the earth.
We are going to steal from the earth. Right.
4 months later. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so good.
I love it so much.
They're the best. And like
And I love how they got a letter from
Ennis.
From Ennis, and that's why they were on the Flying Pussyfoot. Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for that letter, they'd probably still be alive. I mean, they're still alive, but you know.
But they would be less alive because they would have died.
It's Ennis and Mize.
That elixir.
We got a letter.
From Ennis.
Yeah?
It's such a stupid thing.
All right. Is there any other pertinent characters we actually want
there's
to get talk about? I feel like I've covered
no
the important
huge.
Ones
we
at
talked,
least.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about basically everyone except for Shane. Not for it. Who's just
Shanae?
The silent girl.
No, we talked.
Yeah,
about
we talked about her a little.
Well, we didn't talk. We.
Oh right. I mean, I guess Shanae is the love interest for Claire. Her father is actually another one of the boat dwellers, Mr. Huey. I always laugh at his name.
And
I don't give a rat's ass about Mr. Huey.
It's so funny. Because, like, it's just... It's a name that would be during that time.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Huey LaFerrée.
It's here. Huey LaFerrée is just a good name.
Huey was so detached from the story, which kind of... I didn't care too much for him, especially when he came into the picture. Apparently, Huey has two other daughters that we didn't see in this series.
Yeah, Dewey and Louie.
LaFerrée tales. Woo!
Woo!
Staying alive and eating people. Huey. Woo!
We got a thumbnail, boys.
Huey LaFerrée.
That's good. So I think that's all the characters, right?
Yeah, that's all I kind of want.
I mean, there's a couple, but whatever.
I love the Gandors, but like they don't do much. They just get shot up a bunch.
Yeah.
I love the opposing family that they had, the Martillos. No, it wasn't the Martillos. It was the Runaratas. There we go, the Runaratas.
The Runaratas.
They had a whole beef with the Genoard family, with Eve. I guess Eve and Dallas are kind of important.
Give me the beef.
Because that's the other side story that took place in the 30s, I believe, where they're trying to find the location of Dallas. Because Dallas...
Guys, shout-outs to Brutal Foods.
Guys, shout-outs to messing with the Mafia.
Hey, Mafia, can you sponsor us?
Mafia, and only if you're not acquaintances with Dallas. Shh, don't tell Dallas.
Don't tell Dallas.
Don't tell.
Just don't tell Dallas about this.
Don't tell Dallas about this.
I'll shoot God, you.
We are the worst humans.
But no, yeah, I feel like this the whole character section, or at least the whole characters in the show, like it's not enough to just talk about them individually because there's so much intrapersonal relationships.
Interconnection, yeah.
Interconnection not only with individuals, but web groups. Yes.
You should watch it. Just watch it. Why are you here right now if you haven't watched it? Like, this probably makes no sense to people who haven't watched it.
Exactly. So come back here when you watch. Come back to this time frame and then start the episode again.
Okay.
Okay, cool. But if that's everything else, I guess we can move on to a different segment, I guess.
Welcome to the 24th edition of Who's the Best Grill, part of the podcast where each contestant puts forward their choice for Best Grill of the episode and duke it out for the title of Best Grill. Today, our contestants, as always, will never die, will never change, we're immortal, are Pido, Garb, and myself. Elixir. Who are you each advocating for?
Garb, you can go.
I picked Jacuzzi.
All right, Chuck, you can go next.
I picked Isaac and Maria.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh no! Oh no! I didn't think
he went with both of them.
He went with both of them, so I couldn't choose.
Give me a second. I gotta look down the.
I pick Sugar Cube. No, I don't pick Sugar Cube. I actually just imagine.
You said Ennis before.
Who did I say?
You said Ennis before. Podcaster.
No, I'm not picking Ennis anymore. I'm picking my nose. we made that joke already.
Call back.
Don't call it a comeback.
Guys, we went full circle.
Guys, we didn't know.
Let's start with you. Why is Jacuzzi high up there?
Because he's so freaky outy and he's funny. He's a cute boy.
How old is he?
He's
a funny boy.
Jacuzzi or at like, the time, he's probably
kind of
old.
Like, he's like 20-something,
yeah,
right?
At least.
How old was he when he was like immortalized?
He's not immortal.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, he's mortal. Oh, shit.
And that's why
I just kind of assumed that everyone...
He has a grandkid called...
That's probably a freaker outer.
Called Bobby.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's such a freaker outer.
Yeah, it's because I don't have kids.
Oh, no.
Listen, he's a leader... He's a good boy.
He's the leader of the bunch. You know him
well. You know him well.
When he cries a lot, you're gonna cry with him. That was bad. Oh, yeah.
Chunky's dead.
Just for you.
Okay. I don't know. Jacuzzi's a little bit too screamy.
I like Jacuzzi. He's got that.
Have you talked to me?
Yeah, that's why I don't like you.
Jacuzzi is a crier. You might need to invest in a lot of tissues because he's gonna need them. Kleenex,
fine.
Double.
I have some right now.
Yeah, but that doesn't cover. Here,
I'll
take some out now.
He's got a huge scar on his face.
Oh,
okay.
It's not a scar. It's a tattoo.
He's got a giant tattoo on his face. He won't make.
See, he's just loyal.
Look, if you're gonna kill someone, he'll judge you if you kill someone.
Yeah.
Actually, he won't. He's a good boy.
No, he'll forgive you because he's a good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
I don't think I can say anything bad about. I can't say anything bad about Jacuzzi. Not really.
Yeah, he's good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, right. That's the thing, right?
Guys, Isaac and Miria are the best. Why is my grill?
I can't shit talk him.
You can't. I can't.
Because I was thinking at the beginning of this episode, I'm like, well, I need to pick both of them because it's like two peas in a pod, yin and yang. You can't separate them.
Except for that.
So I'm
bot.
Just like. Why not take both of them? So that's what I did. Welcome to the first time anyone's ever been so selfish. They picked two grills for the price of one. And they're great.
Boo.
They're happy. They like dressing up. They'd be great at Halloween.
Boo.
Oh, yeah.
They're very sneaky. They're very nice people.
They're breaking the law. They're criminals. They should be arrested and put in a clown college.
Nah.
For community service.
They already do community service. They gave money out to the
they
poor.
Stole,
remember?
No, they did their time in 2001 at the end of the series when they stole cell phones because the kids keep using their cell phones.
Yeah, they keep using their
all
cell phones.
All these microwaves.
The microwaves.
All these microwaves.
They're tearing families apart.
The nuclear family is no more.
I love it. I love them so much.
They're great.
They're the comedic relief, like we said. Like
that's me.
The show would probably not be half as good without them.
No, absolutely not. They're vital to the success of this show, if it had any. Oh, God.
It did not, sadly.
Big rip.
Big rip.
Yeah.
All right, I can't really trash talk Isaac or Miria. I mean, the only problem would be, like, you'd have to rob stores and you'd have to dig inside a mine for a couple years until...
Eh, it happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's not like it's my worst day.
You know, but I've been doing this for years.
Miria, we've been doing this for years.
What do you mean, Isaac? It's our first day.
Yeah?
That's it, I'm going back to the hardware store.
I'm going back to the flying pussy fight.
Guys,
I can't wait to watch more Bubble Bo.
Guys, niece is great. Guys, she's great. She's a leader.
Guys.
She's the real leader of the Jacuzzi gang. She takes care of Jacuzzi.
She tells him,
get some friends, it's good for you. She keeps a bomb in her eye. Like, she's very reliable in that sense. I mean, like, when
that she has explosives and she'd be stopped at TSA every time.
We're living in the 1930s right now. I ain't. There's no TSA.
Are you living in the 1930s?
Yes. I use my time machine to get here.
So that poses an interesting question. How does Best Girl work? Are we in their world, or do they come to us?
We've never thought this deeply about our goofy segment.
I think it's better that we don't think about it. Continue.
Yeah, you know.
Keep going.
If I'm in a pickle, just bam, throw one of them cherry bombs.
I love
bam.
Pickles.
We can make millions at the box.
If you're ever in a pickle.
We could work for movies when they need those big explosions.
Pickle Pino.
No, stop.
My IQ dropped significantly. Thank you. That one's to you, God. Rick and Morty fans. Your IQ's not going up.
That, like, in a voice chat, we listened to, like,
Rick
and Morty ASMR.
Oh yeah, we did.
We won't. Don't think about that. Okay, next.
A pickle Rick.
No, stop.
A pickle.
Pickle. No.
That was the
remember
worst.
Remember the one where she like ate the pickle and it went like crunk.
I don't want to remember that. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Those were the best grills.
Yep.
To like, if you want to yell at us or tell me that I'm the best because I am, email us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com. That is funkypodcast. Nope, that was wrong. Don't listen to me.
Just go back to the first funky minutes of the episode.
Not funky podcast. Okay, thank you. What do we got now?
Nothing really. You want to talk about just anything else?
I think I'm good.
I think I'm good too.
Yeah, no, I can't think of anything.
We talked a lot.
Ratings? Yeah, we did. This is gonna be like an hour and something.
It's
always that long.
It's really, you really have to watch the series at least to understand remotely what we're talking about. Because even though we went in order, we went all over the place. Because like even at the first like the beginning of this episode, we were like, oh yeah, he dies. What? I don't want to know that.
Yeah, it's almost like we went like in the format of the show.
Almost.
Uh-huh.
God, this is good.
That was planned, by the way.
I'm actually going to go back. I want to read the light novels. I want to read the manga.
Me too. I literally pulled up the Amazon page for the first light novel during this recording.
It's great. Like, I want to. Oh.
Okay. So, let's just do ratings, since we've...
Garb, would you like to start?
I have mine ready.
Sure, go ahead.
Go for it, you stinky man.
I actually had to pull up our Excel sheet.
Oh boy.
Of the other ones to like check.
Where is our Excel sheet anyways?
And I wanted to make sure I rated it much higher than Durarara. And then I realized I gave it the same rating as Bobobo.
Oh.
And I was like,
no, you didn't.
You've sinned.
Not even
close. I almost did.
Bobobo,
no, no, no.
You gave 4.5.
No, no, no. I mean this show. Like the rating in my head, I almost gave it this show the same rating as Bobobo. And I was like, it's not as good as Bobobo. No, I'm kidding. I give this 4.2.
Wrong answer. About the Bobobo thing.
That's understandable. 4.2 makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Do you want me to go?
I like short shows.
You should. You can go first.
Yeah, I'm thinking a very solid 4.7.
4.7?
Whew!
Not bad.
Which, actually, no, 4.6, I lied. It was a prank. Okay. 4.6, which I really loved this. This was so much fun. I had
That's the same thing you gave Planets.
I know. I gave Planets that. I gave.
That's fair. I feel like those two can be the same score.
Mm-hmm. Guys. They're like. There's a little things like on both that I kind of didn't like, but they're still fucking good shows.
Yeah.
Guys.
Final?
Yeah. For the first moment I finished this anime, I knew it was going to be my top 10. To the point where I think it may even beat my rating of Space Dandy.
Oh. Which is.
A 4 point.
Are you going to be rating it the mythical?
I'm not giving it a 5. I might change it.
Oh, of course not.
I'm giving it a 4.9. Because yep, this show you. Encompassed everything.
Wow.
That I like about anything. Like, first off, I love the mafia. I love anything that has to do with the mafia. I like anything that has to do in the 1900s, because that's such an interesting time period, at least when I was studying in school about history and whatnot. It has twists, it has turns, fantastic music, wonderful openings, great endings, characters I actually care for. It has everything that I've always wanted in such a small package. To the point where I just want more and wish there was a second season. And it breaks my heart that there's never going to be a second season. So that's why we have the light novels. No, this is far surpassed my anything I could have ever thought of the first time I watched it. And it was such a treat to watch it again for the podcast.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did, but by the end, I was like, "Yeah, this is, I'm having fun with this." Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
No, I'm in. Before we finish, I actually wanted to talk the three episodes at the end that I made you watch. Those are actually kind of canon as well, like to the story. Like,
mostly.
So the guy with the wrench, he's actually part of like the other parts of the light novels as well. You know, Lad's little underling and whatnot. But I liked that they actually tried to one, continue on the story a little bit. But I loved the way they ended it, where it's like, they're like, well, why doesn't the story just continue? And they're like, well, sometimes it's just better to leave it as is, you know? And in this case, even though I want a second season, at least for the anime, I think that by itself, this stands like very high in my book, so.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is definitely something that I'll watch again, for sure.
You can see all the little
maybe
little
not like points. Very soon, but it'll be up.
Oh, I'll
there.
Be watching this very soon again, probably.
I'll watch it again sometime, like probably in a couple years. But
yeah, well, that's a mark of a good anime.
Yeah.
All right, that was great. What are we doing next week?
Bible Black.
Mm-mm, we're not doing that one. What about, that's not what it is.
What about Itadaki Saiki?
What? Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, wait a second. Was that the thing from... Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's not that's
you're one. Thinking of that one.
No.
It's not you're what thinking, we want.
No, we're watching Dragon Ball Z. We're watching
what?
Dragon
we're going to watch Namek again?
Yeah, we're watching the Namek saga again.
Thank God. I can't
wait. No, we're watching the Cell saga.
Guys, I'm so pumped.
I'm going to be forced to watch...
I love
Cell
Saga.
Oh, no.
An interesting story.
look at all these references I don't get.
God, I'll talk about it when we record the next one. Okay.
Till next time.
Final, who are we?
We are the three Oweebros. We are the Funky Anime Podcast. The one who was removed from first class for being a douchebag to everybody. Well, that's Garb.
Hey, you can't. I paid for my ticket. You can't do this to me. I'm a first-class citizen.
The guy who's now on the roof of the train trying to not drop his explosives that were caught by the conductor earlier today. Well, that's Chuck.
Whoa, there's so much wind. Oh, wow. I'm trying to not drop all these explosives I'm holding right now.
Is he just laughing at his fucking self?
He dropped an explosive. It was a funny bomb.
Wow.
And the guy that's still covered in blood for some reason, walking his way back to the conductor station, ready to choo-choo his way home. Well, that's Pino. I should really go to the dry cleaners after this. Is that guy still on the roof?
Maybe.
He scared me.
Yeah, that was good.
This is the Funky Anime Podcast. This was also another horrible bit. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Yeet.
Dude, yeet, y'all.
Yeet.